We're going to learn Daf Ches Amud Aleph of Masechet Shabbos. We are holding on Daf Ches Amud Aleph. We are at Amar Abaye. So the sugya is going to talk about throwing a large kli from Rishus Yach to the Rishus Rabim, and it's going to give a number of different examples of such a thing, of such a case. Amar Abaye, Zarak Kaveres, a person who throws a round kli. It was a place where bees would gather and make the honey inside of it, and it was made out of reeds. So you throw it from Rishus Yach to Rishus Rabim. So Gavala Asara, if the inner Chavashisha, if the kli itself is 10 tfachim high and it's not 6 tfachim wide, then chayiv. Then you chayiv like throwing any kli from Rosh Hashiach to Rosh Hashabim. But rechava shisha, but if in addition to being 10 tfachim high, it's also 6 tfachim wide, then you're putter. Because if it's 6 tfachim wide, then we assume that it has the dimensions of Rosh Hashiach. So it's no longer just an object, it's an actual rishus. So you're only chayiv if you throw objects, not if you throw actual rishuyos. Now the shear of a rishus hayachid is 4x4 tfachim, but if it's a circle and it's 6 tfachim, we assume that's the equivalent of 4x4 tfachim in a square. Rava amar afilu ein rechav shisha. Rava says it doesn't even need to be 6 tfachim wide, and still pater, you're still going to be pater. My time, why would you be pater even if it's less than 6 tfachim wide? Because there are going to be some of the reeds that stick out and go above 10 tfachim. At the time that the kveres is in the Rosh Hashanah Rabin, the edges of it are going to go above 10 tfachim off the ground, which is a makom patur. So since the entire kaveres, the entire kli, didn't land in the Rosh Hashanah Rabin, so you don't have a hanacha that's mechayiv you for hotza'ah. So the Gemara discusses throwing the kaveres upside down. Kefa'ah, if you turn it upside down, al piha, on its mouth, meaning that the bottom of the kaveres is facing up, and the mouth of it is facing down on the ground in the Rosh Hashanah Rabim. That's how you throw into the Rosh Hashanah Rabim shiva umashuhu. So if it's 7 tfachim and a mashuhu tall, then chayiv. But shiva umechza, but if it's 7.5 tfachim, you're going to be pater. Why? Because when it gets to within 3 tfachim of the ground, so then it becomes lavud. It's as if it's already sitting in the Rosh Hashanah Rabim midin lavud. So at that moment, the top edge of the basket is more than 10 tfachim off the ground, which is in a makom patur. So since the entire kaveres didn't land in the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, it's not a hanacha that's mechayiv you. Rav Ashi amar, afilu shevel mechza chayiv. No, even if it's 7.5 tfachim tall, you're going to be chayiv. My time, why? Because mechitzos l'tochan asuyos. The walls of the kaveres are made in order to hold honey inside of them, not to turn them upside down. And therefore, they don't have a din of lavud when they're upside down. So it turns out that the kaveres is not really resting on the ground until it's actually resting on the ground. We don't say that when it's within 3 tfachim, that we view it as if it's already resting on the ground. Amar Ula, so now the Gemara has another case of an amud that's in the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, whether it has a din of Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Amud tish of Rosh Hashanah Rabim, you have an amud that's 9 tfachim tall, that's in the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, v'rabim mekasfin alav. And a lot of the people that are walking by in the Rosh Hashanah Rabim will rest on it, you know, they'll rest their packages on top of that little pillar on top of the post, v'zarak, and you throw an object, 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, v'nach al gabav, and it lands on the top of that amud. So chayiv, you're chayiv as if it landed in Rosh Hashanah Rabim itself. My time, oh, why would you be chayiv? Why is it considered like it landed in Rosh Hashanah Rabim? Because shlosha pachos mishlosha midrus darsi le'rabim. If it's less than 3 tfachim from the karka to the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, well, then a lot of people would walk right over it. And therefore, it's considered part of the Rosh Hashanah Rabim because people would walk right over it. And mishlosha ve'atisha, if it's between 3 and 9 tfachim, lo midrus darsi le'katufei mekatvei. People wouldn't walk on it, and they also wouldn't rest their packages on it. And since it's not a place that's used by the rabbin, it's not considered a shas rabbin. But tisha, if it's 9 tfachim, vadei mekasini levei, then people definitely would rest their whatever they're carrying on it, because it's not so low that it would be inconvenient to rest your bags on it, but nor is it too high. And since it's used by a shas rabbin, it's considered part of the Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So it comes out a little bit funny that if it's tall enough or short enough, it's part of the Rosh Hashanah Rabim. But if it's somewhere in between where it has no real practical use for people who are using the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, then it doesn't have the status of a Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Now the Gemara is going to discuss whether the shear of 10 tefachim is said even by a guma that's in Rosh Hashanah, a hole in the Rosh Hashanah. So I'm led by Rav Yosef. Guma mai, what would be the din of a hole that's in the Rosh Hashanah that's 9 tefachim deep? Would we also say that it has a din of Rosh Hashanah, that in some way it also helps to serve those in the Rosh Hashanah, because people who are walking by would put things there to hide it or to put it away until they come back? So Amar lei v'chein b'guma. So Rav Yosef says, yeah, the din of a guma is the same din as an amud, that if it's 9 tefachim deep, it's considered part of Rosh Hashanah. Rava amar beguma lo. Rava said no. A guma is not considered Rosh Hashanah. My taima tashmish aydeid chak lo shmei tashmish. The fact that someone from the Rosh Hashanah might use it, but it's not a comfortable usage. And any time the usage is not a comfortable usage, that's not considered Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara asks another from a brisa. Eisve Rava debar masna la Rava. Rav Adbar Masna asks on Rava that it says in the Brisa, "Ha'isu kupasu munachas b'Rosh Hashanah." If you have a basket that's in the Rosh Hashanah, gavoa asara urchava arba'a, that's 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide by 4 tefachim, ein metaltin lo mitochal l'Rosh Hashanah, lo mirosh Hashanah l'tochal. You're not allowed to take anything from it to the Rosh Hashanah or from the Rosh Hashanah to it, because it's a Rosh Hashanah. But pachas mikain. But if it's less than 10 tefachim tall, or it's less than 4 by 4 tefachim wide, then mitochal. And then you can carry from it to the Rosh Hashanah and vice versa. V'chein maguma, and the same is true when it comes to a guma. It has the same din as a kupa. My love, a seifa, when we say v'chein maguma, isn't that going on the sefer as well, when we say that pachos mikain metaltalin, that just like a kupa that's less than 10 tefachim tall, you're allowed to carry from it to Rosh Hashanah, from Rosh Hashanah to it, so to a guma that's less than 10 tefachim deep, you're allowed to take from it to Rosh Hashanah, from Rosh Hashanah to it, and the reason is because a guma is considered part of the Rosh Hashanah, so we might, you know, a guma that's 9 tefachim deep, apparently, is something that rabbim are mishamshim ba, that people use and is therefore part of the Rosh Hashanah, against shitas rava. Says Marlo, a reisha. No, when we say v'chein b'guma, that's only going on the case of the reisha, where we talk about a kupa that's 10 tefachim tall and 4 by 4 tefachim wide, having a status of Rosh Hashanah. That's v'chein b'guma. That guma that's 4 by 4 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim deep also has a status of Rosh Hashanah. But if it's 4 tefachim wide and not 10 tefachim deep, even if it's 9 tefachim deep, it is not the same as a kupa. It would be usher to carry from it to Rosh Hashanah, because then it would have a din of a karmelis, and that is in fact exactly shitas Rava. So now the Gemara asks another kasha on Rava from a brisa that talks about a ruve tchumen. Now, just a little bit of background about a ruve tchumen. On Shabbos, a person is not allowed to go outside of his tchum. We assume tchum Shabbos is 2,000 amos, which is measured from the place where you are on Bein HaShemashos when Shabbos begins. And if you're in a city, it's measured from the outskirts of the city. The entire city has a status of Dalet Amos. So you're allowed to go up 2,000 amos outside of the city. Someone who has to go further than that, so he would put down 2 su'udos at the end of his 2,000 amos on Erev Shabbos, and that would be his new makom shvisa for Shabbos, and therefore he's allowed to go 2,000 amos from where he put down those 2 su'udos. So even though he started Shabbos inside the city, but since he declared his residence to be where those meals are, that becomes his center point where he can go 2,000 amos from. That's what we call an Eruv Tchumen. Someone who puts an Eruv Tchumen has to have kavana that he's being kona shvisa in a place where he could bring the Eruv and eat it if he wants. But if he has kavana to be shovis in one place, and the food that he's ma'ariv is in another, that he uses as the eruv, is in another place, and he's not able to get that food and to bring it to where he wants to be shovis, then that's an invalid eruv. When is he kona shvisa? Bein HaShemashos, when Shabbos is about to begin. So therefore, if the Eruv was around throughout the entire Bein HaShemashos, it's Kona Shvisa for him, even though it later gets eaten, because the key moment is whenever the moment is that Shabbos begins. And then he'd still be allowed to go the extra 2,000 amos beyond that makom. But if the Eruv was eaten before the end of Bein HaShemashos, it's as if he never made an Eruv, and he's only allowed to go 2,000 amos from where he is. So Eisvei, so Rav Adbar Rasa asked Rava, it says in the Brisa, Niskavim, Nishpos, Rishos, Ram, Dimiach, Eruvo, Bibor, Lamalam, Asarit, Fachim, Eruva, Eruva, if a person wanted to be Kornish Shvisa in Rishos, Ram, and he puts the Eruv in a bar that's right near his Makom Shvisa, but more than 10 Fachim, so then his Eruv is an Eruv, because he could take it out from the bar, because, meaning he put it in a place that's not 10 Fachim deep down, it's Lamala, Asarit, Fachim, but if he puts it Lamata, more than 10 tefachim deep down in the bar, then ein eruv al eruv. Then his eruv is not going to be an eruv. So hechidami, what exactly is the case of the brisa? Ile mevapar di isvei asara lemalu de delay vaosvei lemata de tsay vaosvei malu mata hub makom echad eruv makom echir hu. If the bar itself is more than 10 tefachim deep, and when we say lemalu measar tefachim, it's talking about that you put the eruv in a place in the bar that's less than 10 tefachim down into the bar, and lemata means more than 10 tefachim down into the bar. Well, why would that make any difference? The entire bar should have a din of Rosh Hashanah Yachid, in which case he has no access to the Eruv, because he's in Rosh Hashanah Rabin, so the Eruv should not be Konesh Shvisa anyway. Elolav, the bar de les be'asara. It must be that we're talking about a bar that's not 10 tefachim deep when we say lemala me'asara. That the bar, it doesn't just mean that you didn't put it 10 tefachim deep into the bar, it means that the bar itself is not 10 tefachim deep. V'katani, Eruv, oh Eruv, and we said that the Eruv is a good Eruv, apparently, because Lamata Me'asara is considered part of the Rosh Hashanah Rabin, and therefore you're allowed to carry from it. Alma Tashmish Ha'idehachach, Shmei Tashmish. So apparently, even though something that's 9 Tfachim deep is not easy for the B'nai Rosh Hashanah Rabin to use, but they do use it, and Tashmish Ha'idehachach counts as Tashmish. So that's a Kasha and Rava who said that a 9 Tfachim deep bar has a din of a Karmelis and not a din of a Rosh Hashanah Rabin. So the Gemara says that Rava has two answers to this. Zimnin Mishani Lei Huve Eruva B'Karmelis. Sometimes Rava answers that he and the Erev are both in the Karmelis. When the Bryce says Niskavi Rishvos for Rishos Rabin, doesn't really mean Rishos Rabin, it means a Karmelis, and the bar is in the Karmelis, is also in the Karmelis. So he's having Kavanah to be Konesh Shvisa by the edge of the bar. So when the bar is less than 10 Tfachim deep, it's a good Erev, because the Makom Shvisa and the Makom Erev are both in the Karmelis. And we only call it Rishos Rabin in that it's not a Rishos Hayachid. The Zimnin Mishani Lei, and sometimes Rava answers, Huber Rishos Harabim Ve'eruva B'Karmelis. When it says that he wants to be called Rishos and Rishos Rabim, it means Rishos Rabim Mamish, but the Eruv is found in a bar that's not 10 Tfachim deep, which is a Karmelis according to Rava, because the B'nai Rishos Harabim would only use it Al Yidei Evchak, and that's not a real usage. The Rebbe He, and we're assuming like Rebbe, it's not a Kasha why the Eruv is a valid Eruv. You can't access it if it's in a Karmelis. Rebbe holds, during Ben Hashmashos, you could access it, because anything that's only Nisra Drabanan, like carrying from a Karmelis to Rosh Hashanah Rabin, they would never go Zeran Ben Hashmashos. So bottom line is, we have a machlokas over here. What the halach is if you have a bar that's less than 10 tefachim deep in a Rosh Hashanah Rabin, does that take on the status of part of the Rosh Hashanah Rabin, or do we view it like a Karmelis? Rav Yosef understands that it's part of the Rosh Hashanah Rabin because the Ben Hashmashos use it. Rava understands that it's like a Karmelis. We had two challenges to Rava. Rava had two ways of defending himself, and Ben Shem, next time we'll pick up in Daf Ches Amid Beis, where Rava is going to bring a Raya to his Shita. But for now, we'll stop here.